When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Folks, if you've listened to the Herd Tell program, you've heard our friend Gabriella Hoffman, but you need to make sure you're checking out her podcast, District of Conservation. It's a podcast exploring the nuances of true conservation efforts from D.C. and beyond. From topic discussions to exclusive interviews with conservation and energy newsmakers, Gabriella keeps listeners appraised of the latest news stories while elevating important voices. Listen to District of Conservation on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are played.
With your host, Andrew Donaldson, this is Herd Tell.
Welcome back to Herd Tell. Okay, he's our go-to guy when we have to talk this tech stuff, especially when it comes to tech stuff, when it intersects government, when it intersects legalities, when it intersects the market, all this kind of fun stuff. James Ranowski, he's great at it. Great having you back, my friend. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You're the best. Okay. It seems like we've been talking about this for the better part of the year because we've been talking about this for the better part of the year. Elon Musk is actually kind of sort of going to really for realsy this time going to buy Twitter, right?
I think. It's been nothing short of a turbulent time when we look at the progression of events that is Elon Musk and Twitter, right? He wanted to go and buy it. Then he got a little cold feet with the bot data. Then he tried to sue to go and get that information. And then Twitter tried to force him to get into buying the company. And now that, you know, the Chancery Court trial is coming up soon and he's due for deposition to talk with Twitter lawyers, you know, he's putting out this offer to go and buy Twitter at the original offer that he made, contingent upon the company withdrawing their lawsuit to force him to buy Twitter. So it's been a fascinating ride, to say the least, Andrew.
Let's try to turn the noise down this a little bit. James Ranowski, our go-to guy. I love having him on. I'm tired of talking about this particular story, to be honest. How much does the Chancery Court have to do with this? Because like you said, it's coming up in 2 weeks. Most legal folks think that the court was going to enforce a sale in some form or fashion. How much of a factor is that, especially when you look at the timing of this thing?
Yeah, I think that was certainly a factor. I don't know. I think the common question that was asked was, even if the Chancery Court had said that you must go and perform your duty to honor this contract and buy Twitter, whether or not Elon would have complied with that order was certainly a question that was being raised, because of just the sheer size. Like, they've certainly done this in the past, but not to a deal of the magnitude of what Twitter would have been. So I think that there was that kind of a question that was circulating in the background. But I also, part of me thinks that Elon Musk, certainly, as I think some people were aware, his texts that he had exchanged with numerous people became public recently. And I think that, you know, it was just something that he'd rather not go and see, go and have to come out again with more. And then also just his deposition, too. I don't think that he wants to be in that position. I don't think his lawyers want him to be in that position. So I think that it makes sense for him. And I've always held the position that I thought that the deal was what was the best path forward for all parties, because at the end of the day, Twitter is a company that's struggling as its current form is, as it is, right? And Elon Musk is the person that's willing to do it. And you're not going to get somebody else that's willing to pay $54.20 a share for Twitter right now.
Okay, that number is important, James Cernowski. This is the part of the story that almost nobody talked about, but you talked about. We talked about this way back when this whole saga first started. Everybody's like, well, why in the world would Twitter want to do this? It's very simple. Money. Basically, I've got some data here, brother, and you can explain this to me a little better because you're better at this stuff than I am. But if you took Twitter as a standalone company with the profit loss margin it has, with what it makes, with what it brings in, it lost $221 million in 2021. Its revenue was somewhere around $5 billion. The stock price bounced between 31 and 69. That's because of the Musk stuff. So it was all over the place. So a normal company, you would rate that company somewhere in the range of $13 to $15 billion. He offered them $44 billion. That's why the company wants to push this through. They're never going to get an offer as good as this, especially for a company. It's not Facebook. It's not Meta. They're not making money hand over fist. This is the best deal they're ever going to get, probably by a factor of two or three, right?
Yeah. Right now, if you look at least by the Dow Jones price point of Twitter versus what Elon Musk offered to buy it, it's like a 20% premium on the shareholder price that they want to go and offer there. And I think part of the reason why Elon made that aggressive offer is that it was a way to counter a defense that Twitter might have employed to stop him from getting the deal, because they have a fiduciary responsibility to present this to shareholders. And if they're going to go and say no to the deal, they would have had to have come up with another plan for it. And I think that when Musk made the offer he did, it was in part to try to force their hand to not really be able to employ some of those strategies. So I think that when we're looking at it, yeah, Twitter, you know, especially if the Musk deal fell apart and he had to go and pay all kinds of fines and fees and breakups, you would not find a buyer for Twitter that was going to go and pay 40 some odd billion dollars for it. So yeah, this was a great deal for Twitter, obviously. And now, assuming that everything goes and moves forward, it'll be interesting to see how this all transpires.
Yeah. James Cernowski joining us. All right. Everybody wants to project what's going to happen. Let's assume Elon Musk does take over the company, or at least on paper is the owner of the company. Let me play the other side of this because I'm more Elon skeptical than you are. Mm-hmm. Let me pitch it to you this way. Elon Musk, we have quite a bit of book on him publicly now. He chases shiny objects. He gets obsessed with something for periods of time, and then he moves on to some other obsession for a period of time. He's kind of taken some lumps on this. He's taken some black eyes on this. This has gone on way longer than they thought. Is part of this possible that he does take over the company, but he also kind of loses interest in it, and it's going to hurt financially because he's paying a lot of money for it. He's, you know, he hears stuff like this. Is there a possibility that he does buy this, but ends up staying rather hands off with it for the foreseeable future, and there may not be a huge amount of change, at least notable change, anytime soon?
Yeah, I think.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
That this is actually where we have a little bit more agreement than you might realize, because I don't want Elon being very hands-on on Twitter, because he's already running Starlink. He's already running Tesla. The man is running like a chicken without his head on, trying to go and manage all of this, and adding on Twitter on top of that which is in a radically different vector of business types, I think that that would not be great for Twitter, Tesla, or Starlink. And I think for Elon, the best strategy moving forward, and it remains to be seen if this is what he does, but I think that he needs to identify people that, you know, he believes in his vision and that he thinks that they can go and execute on that vision that he has for the company, which apparently is an everything app, whatever that means. So I think that if I were in his shoes, and if I'm even just an outside investor or a person that's like looking at this elsewhere, I would want to see Elon not necessarily being so directly involved. Maybe he has obviously a role on the board and, you know, keeps appraised of matters that way. But I think that it's in his best interest to let other people run it and try to execute his vision for this app.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, James Darnowski joining us. I think there's a part to that, because running a social media platform as big as this, it takes an army of engineers to do this. The minutia and the data sets and what it actually does, I think he's going to get bored with it. I don't think he's going to want to really get hands-on with some of that stuff. I think he probably ends up delegating some of this. One other thing towards that point, though, you were tweeting about this, and I thought your point was excellent. You were responding to Ben Collins, who's MSNBC's tech reporter. A lot of people freaking out about Musk in the political and cultural sense owning Twitter. I'm more concerned about it because I think he's erratic as a business leader more than his politics. A lot of people are worried about the politics of it. You made a great point, and you said, everybody needs to calm down. I'm quoting you here. You are putting way too much stock in Twitter. Only about 25% of Americans use Twitter, and a fraction of that, which would include folks like you, because he's a professional reporter, as are we adjacently, we must point out, produce over 99% of all the content on the site. Twitter is not real life. Stop. I agree with you on this. I love Twitter. I see that there could be a potential problem because of the way Musk conducts himself. But I also understand Twitter's mostly, it's almost, there's an institutional part of Twitter that drives most of Twitter that's going to react to Musk. I'm not sure Musk is really going to be able to control it. I think everybody probably does need to calm down a little bit as far as the doom and gloom, don't you?
Yo, absolutely. And I've always been very consistent on this point. I think that Republicans are probably holding it up as a holy grail a little too much. And I think Democrats think of it as like a meteor way too much. I think that Musk on Twitter is going to look different than Twitter in its current form naturally, because it's a different ownership team that's going to be handling things. So there's going to be some divergence, but I don't think it's going to be some radical departure from what we're seeing right now. I think it would be a lot closer to what Twitter is right now than it is going to be, let's say, from like a Parler, which is where you start hearing some of the lichens getting dropped when he talks about this, or people talking about this deal more broadly speaking. I don't think that that's what we would see here. I think that, you know, Elon does want to allow for more discussion to be up more broadly speaking, but I don't necessarily think that that means that this turns into a cesspool platform. And again, to the point, I do think that people put too much stock into what goes on Twitter in terms of the impact it has on elections, etc. That's just a personal feeling. I'm not sure that that's like, you know, something that can be bore out by the data, but I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if it didn't have as much of an impact as people thought it did.
Yeah. And first of all, I'm biased here because I love Twitter. That's my primary platform. I do everything on. That's what kind of got me into all the things we're doing, including doing this show and my writing stuff. I want it to continue kind of as it is. I also know it can't, just business-wise and technology-wise. But I think we all need to have a little bit of faith here. And I'm an Elon skeptic, so I'm concerned, but I don't think we should panic. Plus, he's going to have a lot of eyeballs on him when they have those first couple of meetings and they see what's in. Because here's the thing. When he says, oh, well, make this happen, then he's going to get a, you know, 600-slide PowerPoint of, okay, here's all the technical stuff we need to make that happen. And then things change. That doesn't make for good copy, but that's how those things go, isn't it? You do the backside of this. That's what doesn't get reported on, and that's going to be kind of a guardrail in its own fact. That, look, this is a massive platform. It's not going to change overnight, even if you wanted to.
No, you're absolutely right. That's always one of the chief problems. Like, it's very easy to be a critic as an armchair CEO. It's a lot different to be in charge of the ship in question here. To your point, there's a lot of technical difficulties that come with managing social media companies that I don't think necessarily translate over to the other companies that he works on right now. I think that, you know, those kinds of problems are unique. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he goes and tackles those issues. But to your point, you know, you like Twitter as it is. I certainly don't necessarily have much issue with Twitter as it is. But my running thing that I like to tell people about this is, you know, because some people wanted to go and say, well, Twitter was like one of the best platforms for civil management of, like, you know, hate speech, etc. And I'm like, well, you can only be who you can afford to be. And Twitter could not afford to be the company that it is right now. And that's why you're seeing the change that's going to likely come should Elon Musk actually take over Twitter. So that's just the reality of the situation. You can really only afford to be who you can actually be, right?
Yep. And I'm right where I've been. I love the SpaceX stuff. I'm skeptical of the Tesla stuff. And I'm kind of apprehensive about Twitter, but we'll see where it goes. I'll try to keep an open mind. You keep pitching Elon Musk to me, though, and I'll keep fighting back, and we'll keep having great conversation about it. James Arnowski, you're the best, buddy. You've been very in demand because you're just that good. Let folks know what you've got going on, where you've been, until we get you back on Hurtel again real, real soon.
Yeah. I've just been traveling around doing the circuit, talking about the good Lord stuff of tech policy and what's going on. You can follow me on Twitter at JamesCZ19. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and look forward to coming on soon again.
Yeah, we're going to have to dish out this 2:30 thing because everybody's losing their mind and they don't understand that this Supreme Court hearing is going to be very narrowly focused to terrorism. So we're going to dig into that one with you pretty soon. James Arnowski, follow him, listen to him. He's got good stuff. Great talking to you, my friend.
Great talking to you.
Take care, sir.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.